It's not easy living on a dying planet, but it is easy to feel overwhelmed when it comes to making changes and taking action to try and save it. Where do you start? Is it even worth it? Can you really make a difference? Welcome to the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast, where we attempt to answer these questions by spilling the tea on living sustainably in a world that's going to shit. I'm Brandy.
And I'm Hannah. And for years, we've been navigating the big, messy gray area of caring about our planet. It hasn't always been smooth sailing, but we're not giving up yet. So, brew yourself a cup of tea, get comfy, and let's try and navigate that grey area together.
Hello, Give a Shitters. This is Brandy.
And this is Hannah, and you are listening to episode 29 of the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast.
Yes, and welcome to part two of our sustainable travel series.
Woo!
There's the woo, it's back.
White girl woo!
last episode number 28 was part one of our sustainable travel series about before you travel, planning your trip.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to that if you haven't already.
And now you're on holiday somewhere, hopefully nice and temperate.
But before we dive
beautiful view.
into that beautiful view, some more quick update. There's been some changes on the back end and website and things. So if any links look funny, it's a work in progress. just trying to reduce our back end kind of costs and time and trying to simplify things. So the website is still the same, theteonsustainableliving.com. But any / episode number links will no longer work. So for past episodes, but moving forward, we will just refer you to the website, theteonsustainableliving.com, and you can scroll through and see all the episodes and links and transcripts and other links to take you to your podcast player, etc. And then we have a link tree. So in our Instagram, there's a new link that should That's take exciting. You to signing up for like the email newsletter and just the latest episode and all of the things. So yeah, check out the new link in our Instagram bio, which is also the Tea on Sustainable Living. Hopefully all links in these episode descriptions, show notes, whatever you want to call them, will still work for you. But if they don't work in your player, you might have to go to the website on a browser for clickable links for like the resources and updates.
Sounds good. Thank you, Brandy.
Our producer You're welcome,
in action.
Yeah, there's just so much like mental capacity, and we might do a separate bonus episode of going into, I don't know, if anyone's interested in like kind of behind the scenes and content creation. There's just trying to remove like pressure, financial pressure, creative pressure to just have this be a fun hobby podcast. Probably won't be monetizing or doing a Patreon anytime soon. We've talked about that briefly in the past, but maybe in like our recap episodes, I think, of potentially doing that. But for now, no. We just want to kind of have fun and then not feel like we're forcing content and just talk about things as we would like. So that's the brief update on that. Stay tuned for, I don't know, maybe a potential bonus episode talking about that more if we feel like it. And you might have already heard a quick kind of update in the beginning of this episode. So yeah, I'll stop talking about that now and we will get back into the travel stuff.
All right. What do you want to spill the tea on, Brandy?
Well, my thought with this episode, I mean, we kind of hinted at it in the first one where I talked about like mindset of like traveling with like a local versus a tourist and like, what does that even mean? But I think, and not that we're not going to talk about specific things because that's helpful. For like examples and such, but I think the mindset can go much further. So it's really, and in episode 28, part one of the series, it was, you know, planning a trip. Why are you traveling somewhere? What do you hope to get out of it? And that's what I wanted to tie into like this local versus tourist. You know, are you going somewhere just to, like I've done in the past, going to Paris and getting pictures in front of the Eiffel Tower, going to see the David statue in Florence and, you know, like ticking that box to feel like, I feel like maybe not always, but I got to a point where I was, you know, I may have one or two things that like, you know, quote unquote tourist things that I wanted to, you know, tick the box, get a picture in front of Leaning Tower of Pisa. Just to say I've been there and.
Yeah, of course. You know. Me too.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fine because when you do travel, you are a tourist. So when we talk about traveling like a local versus a tourist, I don't know. You have to figure out like what your
local is like. Because the truth is you're not a local.
Yeah, unless you're moving a tourist somewhere. Right.
And you're there to do, often to do things that you don't do in your everyday life in some way.
I think been guilty of like doing more of those, like, you know, tourist tick boxes and, you know, things mm-hmm. like Times Square and whatever. Like, they're quote unquote tourist traps for a reason. They're represented in films and TV shows. And I don't know, I think it's fine to like want to experience, like, or want to see, mm-hmm. see a place, or even just take a quick selfie in front of a place that you've seen. I've done that.
Yeah.
But like, for me, I've tried to like balance that more with, I don't know, more like local experiences.
Food? I'm
trying to. Food. Yeah, food's a big one for me. I have a very specific approach to food when I travel. It's, you know, finding vegan options. Not all cities are created equal, but like getting like a list going kind of maybe by like neighborhood of like knowing like where I could go and get something. And sometimes it's off the beaten path. Sometimes it's, you know, on whatever like main street and whatever city I'm on. But I don't know. So yeah, for me, it's, I guess my mindset is that's like kind of been my balance of like having one or two,
mm-hmm.
you know, tourist things on my like to-do list when I go somewhere. So
yeah. And I think like what you're saying about knowing your why is helpful, because it's true as well as like, especially like certain places, you know, that are very famous or have very specific things you kind of should do. There is this kind of like weird pressure, especially when you're like kind of talking about it with someone else, you know, mm. after the trip, like, oh, did you go here? And if you're like, oh, like, no, I didn't. Mm. Like, that's fine. There's no, like, you don't have to go. Mm-hmm. But it does sometimes feel this like weird, like, oh, like, have I missed? I'm like really missing mm-hmm. out. Or like, everyone's expecting me to have gone. So I guess if you're quite clear with your why, like, mm-hmm. you know, and I guess that's like a bit about being like kind of secure in some way in your interests. You know, I mean, like, well, actually, I didn't go to this really famous art gallery because, quite frankly, I don't like looking around art galleries. Or I didn't go to this church because
I don't like churches.
You know, I don't like churches, and I'll have a quick look on Google Images.
Right.
And, you know, that's fine. or whatever, you know, whatever that thing is for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, yeah, it's hard, especially if you've traveled a long way. Maybe mm-hmm. then that also feels harder because you're like, oh, am I like wasting, you know, the money I've invested in this trip by not doing this, like this thing that's on the list.
Yeah. It's that like fear of missing out. Maybe like even subconsciously anticipating that conversation when you get back.
Right.
Oh, did you go here? No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. I went, like, I spent all this money and, you know.
And I didn't do that thing.
I didn't go to the Eiffel Tower or whatever.
Yeah.
Times Square, whatever your thing is.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure that I'm like quite there yet. I think I'd still feel quite a lot of like, not necessarily. I know I don't like rushing around, so I'm mm-hmm. like happy to do fewer things because that's enjoyable to me. I don't want to like be a tourist with like a huge list of, you know, you're going to like five different places in a day. Like, that's just not me, and I'm okay with that. But I do think there's that thing of like, oh, wait, like, Am I missing out? You know, mm-hmm. I still think I could get that feeling.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So I think it's helpful like to narrow down whatever list, whatever you plan to like do for whatever trip you're going on. If, you know, if you're already on the trip, be like, okay, if I were to leave tomorrow, what is the one thing I would like regret the most not doing?
Yeah.
Whatever the answer. I try to do that like before going. Like, if I go all the way somewhere and come all the way home, what would I personally be like upset about and trying to remove? Yeah. Like, what other people might like expect or want me to do or whatever.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I think it's fine to, I don't know, if you do just want to hit a few spots and take a selfie and go, like, I don't know. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
There is.
Yeah. That's,
that just made me think there is some like, there is a difference between like how much you like remember something. Like, if you just take a picture of
mm-hmm.
like the Eiffel Tower versus like a selfie of your, like, of yourself and standing in front of it. Like, once you take a picture of yourself, it's like gives your brain permission to like not really remember it as much, which obviously something like the Eiffel Tower, you're probably going to remember because it is quite big. But insert whatever thing you're taking a picture of. So,
but yeah, it's true. I'm just thinking back of like trips I've taken, like, for example, Florence with the mm-hmm. David statue, and like, absolutely went and saw the David statue. But like,
mm-hmm. me too.
The thing I remember far and away about Florence was this like tiny little restaurant that we found that was like, my friend and I were staying in a hostel that was like, kind of like, it was pretty far from the center. There wasn't really many options, or we'd booked too late or whatever it was. And we were at this like restaurant that was like opposite the football stadium. Mm-hmm. And it was just like lined with like footballers, and like the food was amazing. And we mm-hmm. went back like twice. It was like so good. Yeah.
I remember
that's like 100% like far and away my like main memory of
I have a similar memory of like a hole in the wall place, and I had like pesto gnocchi, and oh, just so good.
Yeah,
and like just walking around and taking pictures of like the bridges and the views, and
yeah. And then conversely, I would say though, like, I mean, maybe this is also just like a more recent trip, but like going to Barcelona, like La Sagrada Familia is absolutely like far and away the thing that stood out for me the most. Mm-hmm. And that obviously is like the big tourist attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it was like 100% worth it. Like, I just thought it was stunning. And mm-hmm. I was like in there for like 2 hours. Like, it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'd like to go back and actually go inside.
Yeah, I would recommend. Yeah, it's just like this gorgeous, like I love stained glass. That's especially like modern stained glass. That's something I really like. And so the majority of the stained glass in the cathedral is like this like kind of modern abstracty stained glass. And it just like creates this like beautiful like effect on the floor. And I did like a tour in there, which was like really worth it. And the tour guide was saying like that Gaudi had been like inspired by a forest, and you have these like branching, the columns that are holding up the cathedral do kind of look like tree branches. Mm-hmm. And the idea was that you would feel like the light in the like the forest floor.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was really, really beautiful. Like, I'd really recommend it.
So it makes sense why they've taken so long to with all that work.
I mean, in theory, it's gonna be finished soon, like in the next 10 years.
Yeah,
you know,
believe it when I see it.
It was supposed to be finished in 2026, but then the pandemic happened.
Oh yeah.
All right. What else?
Yeah, that's kind of my. I guess those are my thoughts on like traveling mm-hmm. as you know local versus tourist. Like, you are a tourist, but like. I don't know. What do you want to, I try to think of, what do I want to get away from a place? Is it a feeling? Do I want to feel like relaxed after? Do I want to feel like I did things or, I don't know, saw things?
Right.
It's walking tours of museums or whatever it is. And then I like to kind of have like a list of things I would like, non-negotiable things, potential things I'm interested in. And then you kind of just, you might have to schedule those like one or two kind of tourist things. If you want to like see the David, I recommend like booking, but then the rest of it just kind of going based on like how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And definitely leave like time to some flexibility, because if it's just like a full itinerary of do this, do that, tick this box, that box, then I don't know. That sounds too exhausting to me, but whatever your like travel style is, mm-hmm. I think, yeah, it'd be helpful to know that and have some flexibility built in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, what does that mean to balance with like more local things? Yeah, I've talked about food. To me, that's like a big part of like experiencing a place. And I'm a bit more limited in like vegan food, that it might not be the most like, I don't know, authentic, but like I'm fine with that, because I will still associate like a good meal, a good restaurant with that place, even if it's not quote unquote like authentic.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on like local versus tourist?
Yeah, I think you've summarized it pretty well. I mean, yeah, I guess some of it's what we talked about right in the last mm-hmm. episode about as well. If you're like choosing like the tour guide and those sort of things, like mm-hmm. or the walking tours, like maybe look for a company that's like local or like based in that mm-hmm. space rather than like one of the like bigger companies. Mm-hmm. I mean, that depends on the place as well. And I'm saying that as someone who hasn't done that, because I'm normally looking for the free tour, which is normally run by like, there's, you know, I can't think of any names off the top of my head, but there's like a company in Europe that's like in every city that do a lot of them. I think it's like Sandyman or something. Anyway, I don't know.
Mm.
But yeah, I guess being a bit more thoughtful about like what, you know, if you have an option is there a kind of like a more a local version of what mm-hmm. you want to do that you can choose?
Mm-hmm. And I think there's also an element of like being aware of your surroundings and like respectful of like the actual locals who live there.
Yeah.
Like what there's someone said about like New York, that New Yorkers aren't rude. The tourists are, because you're taking up the whole sidewalk and taking pictures. And like people are trying to like get to work or to the grocery store, or get home. People live there.
Yeah.
So just being aware of like how you
your
are
surroundings.
Yeah. Being aware of how you're affecting the people who live there, whether it's noise or drinking or taking pictures in the space you're taking up on a sidewalk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I'm true. Definitely guilty of just thinking, oh, I'm on holiday. Everyone else here is on holiday. Oh,
we actually
live here. So that's a good reminder to myself.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Just thinking anytime I walk down like the major like kind of tourist streets here, I like want to scream, get out of my way. Especially like that's like the best way to get home from like the grocery store. I get very irritated because I just want to get home and people are just stopping and, oh, should we go in here? Should we go in there? Looking at their phones and I'm like, oh my gosh.
I'm carrying my shopping. Let me know.
Or like you're tired. Maybe you're coming home from, I don't know, being out with friends and I just want to go home. In the summer, I just want to go home and get a cold shower and go to bed because it's so hot. Yeah.
It's true.
Just looking at the outline. Mm-hmm. Oh, a good question. Just kind of reflection question to sum that up. Like if you go somewhere and only go to the quote unquote tourist traps, are you really experiencing the place? And I think that that's an individual question.
Yeah.
I might be leading the witness there, how I've worded that, but your answer, you decide.
That's kind of a hard one though, isn't it, as well? Because like, but then there can also be like,
it's like according to who
right, and also there is this like danger, I guess, of like when certain local areas, I'm thinking particularly neighborhoods, become more touristy because they're like the cool neighborhood. And because we're looking for a more authentic experience when traveling, there's like this kind of movement away in travel, right? From like staying in a hotel, like staying around like the tourist areas, to like, oh, I want to stay in like that neighborhood because like that's cool and like hip and whatever, you know, that's like the artist area of the city, or like, you know, and that's more genuine. And then it kind of just like turns these places, then that like has an impact
with like Airbnbs and rent prices.
Like Airbnbs, and then suddenly like, I don't know, I remember when I lived in Lavapiés in Madrid, which is very central neighborhood in Madrid, and I mean, you know, it's there are lots of different things going on there, but like suddenly I feel like the first few years I lived there I didn't notice it so much, and then I was suddenly like, people are like just taking tours down the street. And like you suddenly saw the like the start of like to, you know, graffiti tours, or like there's like those like tuk-tuks that they've started popping up in Madrid, and like seeing them go around that neighborhood. And I was just like, what? This is so weird, especially when you live there. But I understand, and I definitely do the same, right? I've definitely like, you know, definitely done exactly the same. Like I'll go to a city and I'll like Google like what are the coolest neighborhoods, you know, like, oh, I want to like go there for drinks and I want to go for dinner there, and like often they're like, again, like especially maybe as a veggie and a vegan, that's often where there's like more veggie food perhaps, and like more like artisty areas like away from like this the tourist traps. But then the traditional tourist traps are where less people lived, or people had already moved away from living in them, I guess, when they became more touristy in the first place. So it's just this like maybe extension of touristy areas. I don't know what the answer is. That was just a sort of philosophical ramble. But
I was just gonna ask, do you think then that like tourist areas, there should be like a tourist kind of zone, and like tourists should like stay there
No tourists.
No tourists may leave the site.
They're like checking your pass. Are you a tourist or a local? Like, you've got to,
you're not allowed to
gate.
Leave this zone. Interesting. I think there could be something to be said though for like where you're staying, especially in towns that are negatively impacted by Airbnb. And you know, I think I linked in the last episode, but you can research it on your own. Different cities have different like rules and regulations. And they're not all equal, but for areas like Barcelona that are negatively impacted by Airbnb, I think Madrid too, but maybe not as much, you know, are you doing more harm by staying in an Airbnb, like doing more harm to like the local, like people who live there than just staying in like a chain hotel?
Yeah.
Because sure, the chain hotel like might be, the money might not be going, not as much, what did you say, like 90% of like money leaves the local area, like when you stay in like a chain hotel. But then if you stay in an Airbnb somewhere that is where Airbnbs are causing, you know, rent prices to skyrocket and people who live there can't afford it anymore, then I guess it's a bit of a sticky situation.
Yeah, I was just away and I was staying in an Airbnb and I was like, this wasn't intentional, but I was like, oh, it felt, I was definitely staying in someone's like house.
Mm-hmm.
We were definitely, it was like clearly like this guy like rented out his, the place he lived over the weekends because he had to come back like on the last day. He was like, yeah, you can check out late, but I have to like come back and change for work at like 1:00. So, but like you can stay later, you know, which was like really nice of him, right? But in a way I was like, oh, like that was kind of like the initial idea of Airbnb.
Right.
That, you know, like I don't know where he stayed, but I presumably had somewhere else he could stay during the weekend and then was just like a bit of extra money. So it was like, oh, that feels like a little bit, I feel a bit better about it, but you've no way of knowing that before you know.
I think sometimes you can tell based on like the pictures if they're like, you know, 100% of the time an Airbnb. Or it's like a room in someone's house or apartment.
Yeah.
And I think places like San Francisco that's like super strict on like having like hotel taxes because hotels are like they pay certain fees and taxes to like to operate as a hotel. I can't remember if it was San Francisco, but so yeah, it all depends on the city. But if you're already on the trip, you've already
you're already
in your place. But just something to I think reflect on while you are there. Like, yeah, are you in, I don't know, the tourist zone, or are you in a local neighborhood? And
And if you are in a local neighborhood, that can be really good. But are you like interacting with it in like a respectful way, I guess?
Yes, exactly. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Something else I thought about when thinking about this episode is like the different like animal kind of attractions you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've definitely been guilty of things like, you know, swimming with dolphins and riding the donkeys or mules and Greece. But that was kind of less of an attraction and more of like a mode of transportation to get up the 1,000,001 stairs.
Yeah.
But like the swimming with dolphins, that was around the time that I think was not quite, like I hadn't quite shifted my mindset of like, you know, like my impact on the planet and, you know, how to like make certain changes. But I think it was like right around that time. So I didn't feel great about it, but I was also, it was a family vacation and it was on a cruise, which I've only been on 2 cruises. I was treated to both of them. They were family vacations. So like, I don't want to say, no, I'm anti-cruise. The first one, I don't think I was at all. I don't think I like even cared like, ooh, cruise. Yes. Like that sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which that could be a whole separate episode of like the impact of cruises. Spoiler alert.
I'm like, oh no, great. I didn't realize. I was like, oh, I've been looking at all these YouTube shorts of people who work on cruise ships. I'm like,
maybe we will do a future episode on that.
You can educate me.
I don't know if they're all equal, but just I think there's a lot of waste and then like oil that gets put into the ocean and the impact of.
Oh no. Oh well. Okay.
we can take a deeper dive into that later, but I don't know. Like most things, I don't know if it's all black and white, but I kind of have this like negative connotation in my head now.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I've had to listen to. But anyway,
I'm
on a cruise. One of the excursions was Mexico. We were swimming with dolphins and it was this like kind of gated off area where they kept the dolphins and
oh, okay.
you interact with them, you get pictures with them. And And I'm saying they were treated badly. It was just now when I think about it, I don't know how they were treated. Just our experience there, like, you know, we got to touch and, you know, swim with the dolphins, and it was fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now I think back, just the fact that they are being confined, for me, that alone is enough to, like, not feel great about it. And I have thoughts about zoos too. And I know they're not all created equal. They're different.
What do you think? I was just saying, I guess I've been to like, I've done like dolphin and like whale boats, but I've never swum with the dolphins. Mm-hmm. But that was only because I'm not very organized. Mm. And the day I decided, I was like, oh, I'm going to go on one of these, like the dolphin boats.
Uh-huh.
And of course you like have to book the, like if you're one of the people who's going to swim with them, you have to book that in advance.
Right. I think if something like you're just observing, like a whale watching or dolphin type tour, I don't know that I see anything necessarily wrong with that.
Yeah.
But things like, you know, getting pictures of like tigers or elephants in Asia, and like, I think it's known that they're often drugged so that they are, you know,
they
don't harm the person taking, you know, squeezing them and taking a selfie with them. And I don't like that. You know, who's alternative travelers who have like either a blog post or maybe even a podcast episode about these kind of animal, unethical animal experiences, attractions, I think is maybe a better word, because that's what they are. They're attracting you like to the place. So I don't know if that's, well, one, it's not an authentic experience, because if you're confining animals and drugging them and forcing them to interact with people, like that doesn't feel right to me, because I wouldn't like that. I don't want to be confined and drugged so that like someone else can take a picture with me. So I don't want to put that on an animal. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that one's, I mean, if most, that one mostly feels like an easier.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I don't hear many people like talking about it. So I wonder if it's just, I'm sure it's still being done, but is it?
I feel like this, I mean, I think there definitely are still, and maybe this is another question, but I don't know enough to go into it. But like, you know, I feel like, for example, elephant sanctuaries, I see that quite a lot in like Asia, like when I've seen like influencers or whatever going on away. And it's that, it's like that move away, like maybe like 10 or maybe 20 years ago, more accurate, like you would go and you would like ride the elephants. And now that's kind of considered, okay, like that's not like a very good thing to do. And so, but like these kind of animal sanctuaries where you like playing with the animals and like washing them, that still seems quite common. And that's kind of like, I guess, I feel like that's like sold as being like ethical.
I think if it is what they say it is, if it isn't a sanctuary, if they are like the animals would otherwise like not do well.
Yeah.
If they weren't there. I did a place, I think it was it just called Animal Sanctuary or Farm Sanctuary in LA, and they have one in New York too. Where you go and you pay, it's a tour, you only interact with animals if they feel like being approached. The tour guide is like, okay, they're not, this animal's not having a good day, don't go near them, this one's very friendly, you can pet them. And then they, you know, kind of educate you on, well, this farm sanctuary educate you on, you know,
right,
the ethics of like animals and how we interact with them, and there's a big food element,
right?
So I feel good about that. And even if you don't go, you can still like donate to like a local one before you leave.
So
I do feel good about that. If it is like, you know, an authentic like sanctuary type of place, but somewhere like, it gets blurry, because then, I don't know, places like zoos, which I think is another popular like kind of destination, like the San Diego Zoo, for example, like, you know, these exotic animals that wouldn't otherwise be here are just here for our pleasure. I think that's the thing. Like, what is the main reason for these animals being there? Is it for their protection in like a sanctuary, or is it to make people money? Like a zoo, is it just for our enjoyment? And I think you have to kind of ask yourselves these questions and do your own research and see what answers you come up with. And that's not always clear. Things like greenwashing, they're not always clear. You do have to put a bit of research into it, but I think some things are more obvious than others. So,
and I guess it's those also, what do you do with all of these like structures that are from a former, like a time where, like something like zoos, I think that's like a big shift in like maybe like human understanding of the world.
Mm.
Like 100 years ago, I mean, I'm sure there have always been people who have been anti-zoos, but we've like animals as entertainment,
mm-hmm.
like in circuses and zoos has yeah. like was a lot more like popular and like, I guess, not considered wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so especially something like zoos, they were built with this like huge infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what do you do with them now?
Mm.
Now those like questions are being raised more like generally. I guess that maybe depends on the country, but I feel like that's mm-hmm. something, you know, I've heard people talk about, like even people who weren't like necessarily veggie or vegan, but like, you know, the ethics around zoos, do you want to go, do you not? But like these zoos are already here, and then perhaps from a time,
yeah,
you know, I don't think, could be wrong, but you don't really hear of new zoos being built.
Mm.
So is it necessarily like greenwashing if they move towards more like emphasizing like the protection of animals?
Mm.
I mean, yes, probably, but also like, is that just like a necessary transition? With this like general change in like a human, like our, you know, like what is acceptable like ethically yeah, yeah. today versus like 100 years ago when they were first created
mm-hmm.
or 50 years ago or whenever it was.
Yeah. I'd say it all comes down to like the main objective for, I don't know, like who makes the decisions. Let's just say the zoo owner, executive, whatever. Like what is the right. main objective? Is it the animals' well-being or the paying human customers? Like well-being, yeah. happiness. And I don't know. That could be a separate episode too, how to like shift away from zoos. I don't know what the answer is.
No, I don't either. All right.
But and we are within our 10-minute warning. So I'll leave links to, I found some stuff about like souvenirs when you travel.
Okay. Yeah. And then I guess there's all the things like that you have in your everyday life, like reusable.
Yeah.
Like, is it worth it for like bringing a water bottle, maybe mm-hmm. a water bottle with a filter, mm-hmm. depending on where you're going?
Yeah.
Like you're like maybe not necessarily like throwing all of those things out just because you're on holiday.
Right.
Yes.
And then as far as like getting around, I mean, I think it's similar to like getting to somewhere, to and from mm-hmm. the destination is, yeah, how can you have less of like an impact or reduce? Can you, you know, carpool, take the bus, train, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever makes the most sense for where you are. But I think that does start in the planning stage. Like, where is your like hotel, Airbnb, wherever you're right. staying, where is that located? Because then that limits you and how you can like get around. If you're staying in the center of a city, you can take the metro.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right.
Souvenirs might carry over into part 3, because that is kind of like what you bring home long term after the trip. Because I did want to talk a bit more about that.
All right. Yeah, it's true. Well, we so can
maybe I'll tie that in somehow.
Part 3.
Okay, cool. Okay. All right. Give a shitter. So thank you for listening, and let us know what you thought about this episode. If we missed any like major points, something that you found helpful that we didn't mention, send us a message, a DM on our Instagram at The Tea on Sustainable Living. And you can still head to theteaonsustainableliving.com for show notes, links, and resources. You'll just have to scroll for the specific episode number to find it. And I think that's all. See you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Tea on Sustainable Living podcast.
Now, go share it with a friend,
a coworker,
a partner,
a family member,
or whoever.
A pet? Your cat?
Someone on the street? Whoever you think could use a little more support on their sustainability journey, share it.
You can send them over to our website, theteaonsustainableliving.com. And while you're there, check out the show notes for more info on today's topic.
All right, give a shitters. See you later. Get it? See you later, as in see you later. So funny.
Brandy.